The meeting. Welcome, everyone, and I'm going to open a public hearing on HJR 32. And I'm going to first ask Representative Avakian to speak and then Kara, so that Representative Avakian can.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Brad Avakian from District 34, Northeast Washington County. I want to thank you, Madam Chair, and the committee for hearing House Joint Resolution 32. Which I have proposed in order to start the process for establishing a Capitol History Center in the Capitol itself. As you know, because you are all here, we have no such place in the Capitol where the roughly 350,000 visitors a year that come can come to learn a little bit about Oregon history and about the history within the Capitol. I will tell you just one brief story, which I think illustrates what I think is the great importance for this, and then stop and allow you to ask questions if you'd like. If you go to the State Archives building, which is just a few blocks up the street from us, and you go to their storage room, which is located on to the left as you walk in, but you need somebody to take you in because it's locked. They have in that room an amazing number of documents that come from the four corners of the state. Back in one of the last rows, sitting in a cardboard box on one of the shelves, is something very interesting. I had Roy Turnbaugh, the state archivist, take me back there a few weeks ago because I knew what was back there and I wanted to see it. And he knew, too, as he walked me down the aisles. He pulls the box down. He lifts off the top of the box and reaches in and pulls out a leather-bound volume and says, with, I might say, a twinkle in his eye, "Take a look at this." And, of course, I grab it, and it is the original Oregon Constitution, which is sitting in a box, well taken care of and preserved, but sitting in a box in a room in the State Archives building. And the 350,000 people that walk through this building every year never see such a tremendous document. Sitting next to that box is another box marked Territorial Convention, which has within it the documents that were taken at the time reflecting the forming of the Oregon Territory in 1843. And even more next to that are the personal diaries of Joseph Meek. All of these, and you could go on and on and on in that State Archives building with these tremendous treasures that we have that nobody ever sees. And what I think would just be a wonderful legacy for this legislature would be to create a place in this building where we can not only share those types of things with the public, but where we can also share them with ourselves, because I think it's a great gift to future legislators who walk into this building to have a little exposure and a little knowledge about where we have come from.
Thank you, Representative Avakian. Question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Avakian, good morning.
Good morning.
I just got a chance to tour it, actually, I think it was Friday, the Archives building. And when they did that, they pulled out the original Constitution. I thought the same thing. I thought, how do we get this to where people can tour it and see it and become involved in the history? And some other things that we saw that day that they're putting on display there at times, but people aren't going there to see that, whereas especially during session, there's a real opportunity. It's a great idea.
Any other questions or comments? Because before we let Dave Henderson speak, I need to give the heads up to the committee that Representative Avakian is, of course, ringing my bell in a big way because I am the appointed member of the Capitol Foundation, which works to find private funds to support the Capitol. And I guess my question is, what I'm envisioning here is some sort of not a permanent exhibit, but an exhibit that would, some parts permanent and some parts that would come in and out of the archives building, which I will tell you was quite controversial when it was built. And I think we all see the need for an archives building, but it has not been useful as a display area, clearly, for some of these things, the state's archives, basically. Although there is a display.
Well, I think you're describing, Madam Chair, the vision for this very well, and it isn't just the archives building. You have the State Library, you have the Oregon Historical Society, you have county museums and societies all over the state that could all take part in rotating exhibits in this building.
Just a comment, it's a fantastic idea. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Avakian.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We'll let you get off to whatever committee you're...
I'll go ahead and wait, just in case you have questions of
okay.
Mr. Henderson that might relate in some way.
Can you add to that, Kara?
I wouldn't wish to try.
Then let's let Dave.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dave Henderson, legislative administrator. I would be happy to answer any questions. I can tell you that the Oregon State Capitol Foundation has had numerous discussions about a historian position here in the Capitol. The fact that since Cecil Edwards has left, that we've been lacking that. So there is no one to carry on the long-term institutional memory of the Capitol and the legislature. And this measure would fit very well with the mission of the foundation.
Any questions of Dave? Well, we thank you both for coming in and for
thank
bringing
you.
Forward this idea. Needless to say, I think you're getting pretty good response.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing on HJR 32 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3265. Kara, you want to talk about this a minute?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3265 eliminates the Lane County Local Boundary Commission and transfers funds to Lane County effective July 1, 2005. I'd like to give you a little historical background on boundary commissions. In 1969, three local boundary commissions were developed by the legislature in the belief that this would control fragmentation of service boundaries throughout the state. The three were developed in the most populated areas, Multnomah County, Marion County, and Lane County. This was in 69. You may recall that our landmark land use legislation passed this body in 1973. So the boundary commissions worked for 4 years before we had a bigger land use control picture. The Marion County Commission was disbanded in the mid-1980s. And I can't remember exactly what year, and I should, because that was when I was with Marion County. And Multnomah County Commission was removed from statute in 1999. In both of those cases, it was seen that those two were redundant governments and that the county had picked up the services in both Multnomah County and Marion County. The Lane County Boundary Commission is the one to remain in statute and in operation today. And with that,
questions? Kara? Okay. Ask Amanda Rich from the Special Districts to come up. Oh, no, that's fine.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Berger, members of the committee. I appreciate this opportunity to come before you today and talk about a bill that Special Districts has brought to you. Kara has done a terrific job of explaining some of the background on the boundary commissions and why they were formed and what has happened to two of them. And I'd like to touch just a little bit more on that. We believe that I didn't say who I was representing, did I? Mm. I say Special Districts Association of Oregon. All right. We believe that at the time there was concern about rapid growth, and particularly in our urban areas. And I'll give you one example. In the Portland area, an entirely new city was created, Maywood Park, just for the sole purpose of trying to stop the construction of I-84. And there was continuing concern about fragmentation of services. And so these boundary commissions were an attempt to kind of bring some sanity to that process. And however, we would like to note that the policy statement set forth when the legislature enacted these commissions doesn't establish, frankly, a priority type of government. It just says that in most cases, a single governmental agency rather than several is usually better able to assess financial resources and is usually the better mechanism. But we think really what the legislature was getting at that time was wanting to limit fragmentation, promote efficiency of service, and provide guidance around the growth of cities and special districts in Oregon. And quite frankly, those are goals that we supported then and that we support now in 2005. But we believe, and as you all probably know, a lot has happened since 1969, not insignificantly the passage of Senate Bill 100 in 1973 that led to the land use program as we know it today. And the regulations expanding and covering almost every area of development and growth. Ms. Fisher pointed out to you that in the 1980s, the Salem Boundary Commission was eliminated, and that in 1999, the Portland Boundary Commission was eliminated because the services had become duplicative and redundant because they were covered by the growth of land use planning in other areas. But I should state that this issue of the Lane County Boundary Commission has come up before. And special districts up to this point has been neutral on this issue and frankly feeling like, well, you know, we don't really have a dog in the fight. However, it has come to us, our attention over some recent years, that actually we do have a concern that goes beyond just the redundant nature of the service that Lane County Boundary Commission provides. And that is that, first, we believe the Lane County Boundary Commission has adopted policies that favor cities to the exclusion of special districts and to the exclusion of what taxpayers may desire. We've attached the policies to my testimony. I've attached the policies, and I think some of you I've given you those before. And I'll just point out one phrase. Page 2 under section 191.030.0020(2) states that annexation to cities shall be the method preferred and encouraged by the commission for delivering urban services to urbanizable land. So in other words, the decision is kind of already made without regard to taxpayer interests or what a city or other districts or other governments in the area might want. We believe, frankly, that the Boundary Commission policies also appear to ignore the planning goals set forth in ORS 195, which is the chapter that governs local government planning coordination. And that chapter encourages consideration of financial capacity, cost of service to users, physical constraints, elimination of duplication of service, economic and demographic factors, economies of scale, et cetera. And it considers these factors regardless of the type of government that would be delivering the service, be it city, county, or district. I'd like to bring up one example of where we believe that a special district is a shining example of the elimination of fragmentation and efficiency of service, and that is the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue District. They provide fire protection to 13 cities and are located in 3 counties. 3 times they have been voted one of the best fire departments in the world by the International Association of Fire Chiefs. Yet their tax rate is about $1.65, one of the least expensive fire districts or, frankly, departments in the state. And the reason is because they've regionalized and that every dollar collected by the district goes to fire protection and is not transferred to other areas of government. We think this is what ORS 199 was talking about when they were talking about elimination of fragmentation and efficiency of service. Our second reason for one of our other reasons for bringing this before you today is that we think the commission has adopted fees that are discouraging taxpayers from pursuing forms of government, in particularly in rural areas. And if you take a look at the fees, which are also attached to our testimony, in some cases, a major boundary change for a city that has 10 to 20,000 in population requires a fee of an upfront fee of $7,000 just right off the bat. And then to form a district based on the assessed valuation, it could range anywhere from $3,500 to close to $10,000. Nowhere else in Oregon do citizens pay these fees. We've discussed before, this is the last remaining boundary commission. So in 35 out of 36 counties, folks go to the county, and here they have this second level of government that they have to go through and this second layer of fees. Now I'm going to say that despite everything that I've said to you today, the services, frankly, that the Lane County Boundary Commission provides when an entity gets past some of these policies are not all bad. In fact, we have some of our own districts that have received excellent service from the Lane County Boundary Commission. There's testimony on the record that you will see from McKenzie Fire and Rescue District, and we have talked to them at length about this issue. And I would like to say special districts did not bring this bill to you lightly. This was a serious decision on our part. However, we firmly believe that McKenzie Fire and Rescue will be well served by Lane County if you were to pass this bill, and the services, they would be taken over by Lane County. They have indicated that they are ready, willing, and able to take on the services provided by the Lane County Boundary Commission, and any have even hinted around in the past that they might want to hire the very same person who provides some of those services at the Boundary Commission. We do believe that our special districts in Lane County would be well served by the county if the Boundary Commission were going to be eliminated, and frankly, we wouldn't have brought this bill before you today if we didn't believe that firmly. There's also, I heard late yesterday from TriMet that they have a little technical issue with the bill. They think that maybe there was a drafting error in one section. Nanheim from TriMet's going to talk to you this morning about that, and I'd just like to say for the record that we didn't intend to do anything to impact TriMet's authority to change their boundaries. Therefore, if you decide to move this bill, we'd be very happy to accept a friendly amendment to fix whatever TriMet's concerns are. In summary, we believe that this bill provides you with a unique opportunity to streamline government, remove an agency, while still maintaining consistent and efficient and the same level of service. And we would respectfully urge you to take this opportunity.
Thank you. Questions? Amanda? Yes. Delizio.
Good morning. I had a couple questions. One was when you referred to number two about the policy implementation, where it says that annexation to cities shall be the method preferred. You pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you read that as the decision having been made. So I see those as two different things.
Well, Chair Berger, Representative Galizio. We read that in the context of the entire set of policies, and if I may, I'll point you to page one of the policies where it says that this would be in the first paragraph about the fifth line down. The commission shall favor general purpose governments over single service governments and special districts. The commission shall discourage the proliferation of special districts throughout Lane County. The section that we pointed out to you regarding annexation was just one piece of, we think, an overall policy that strongly discourages consideration of special districts as a service provider.
Okay. Can I have one more question? I don't know how familiar you are with the controversy surrounding, in my district, the city of Tigard trying to annex the Bull Mountain area. So, and also there are other questions in terms of Beaverton and, right, that are dealing. And there currently in that area, there's no boundary commission.
Right.
And it's a mess. So are you arguing that the status quo, where there are no boundary commissions, is working fine?
Chair Berger, Representative Galizio, no, I would not argue that the status quo is working fine. And in fact, we have been part of the discussions to address the annexation mess, shall we say, and we'll be serving on the interim committee to address a number of those issues. And we've taken part in the discussions over the moratorium on 195 annexations and island annexations, and we'll, again, be a member of the group that takes a very hard look at our entire overall approach to annexation. And I'm not sure what that interim committee is going to come up with, but we do right now have a pretty fragmented approach. There's over 13 ways to annex, and it's not easy for citizens to understand, and frankly, it's not easy for the governments that are sometimes implementing those policies to understand, and it is time to take a look at it.
One more?
Sure.
How about in the area where the Lane County, the Boundary Commission exists? Like, have there been difficult annexation questions that are parallel to what we see there? Because I just don't remember reading about that, and I'm wondering if the Boundary Commission might be the entity that's creating a situation that's more favorable to where, for Washington County.
Chair Berger, Representative Galizio, I'm not sure if you can draw a nexus there or not. I do know that from our perspective, there have been annexations that we believe would have been favorable to the consolidation of services that were, for policy reasons, as discussed before, denied by the Boundary Commission. One example was that the city of Springfield wanted to be annexed by the Willikensee Fire District so that they can consolidate fire service and be served by Willikensee, and that annexation was denied. I'm not prepared to discuss all the details of that because it was before my time, but I do know we have run into kind of opposite end issues where folks were trying to find a solution toward defragmentation and consolidation, and it didn't happen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple questions. It's all right. Just try to get some clarification on the process a special district would have to go through, or a private property owner would have to go through, in dealing with both the Boundary Commission and the County Commission. Part of your testimony says that in no other county in the state are citizens faced with these kind of fees or processes. Can you explain the kind of hierarchy involved? Who has the authority? If the Boundary Commission sets or makes a decision, can a citizen appeal that decision to the County Commission? Once you go through the Boundary Commission, do you have to also go to the County Commissioners? Please tell me a little bit about the relationship.
Chair Berger, Representative Buckley, oh, how I wish that I could explain with clarity and detail how that process worked. I'll raise one example of recently, Junction City, group of citizens in that area tried to get together to form a park district, and it was very difficult for them to wade through the process, and they would go to the Boundary Commission and be told, no, you really need to talk to the county first about this. And then they go to the county, and the county would say, no, you need to get this done by the Boundary Commission first. They go to the Boundary Commission and get something done and go back, et cetera. And I don't know that there was a real clear process that could be ferreted out. And whether or not there was an underlying agenda going on that was having these people go back and forth, I don't know. But at least in that case, the process was not clear. And we did everything that we could as an association to assist that effort and those citizens in that effort through the process. And they eventually kind of gave up, frankly, because it became apparently insurmountable to them. We may try again.
Right. That. And Jim said. just for clarification, do we have someone from the League of Oregon Counties to testify on this, or from Lane County?
We do not, but we have further testimony from the City of Eugene and Lane County Bounty Commissioner. And in a minute, I'm going to ask the elected officials to come up here, but I have one quick question of Amanda first. You put together a fee schedule here.
Mm-hmm.
In your example of the Park District, did they have to pay these fees to even be heard before the Boundary Commission in their formation? Or when are the fees paid, and would they also have to pay similar fees to the county?
I believe there would be. I would ask, Paula Taylor is here from the Lane County Boundary Commission, and she may be able to explain further. But I believe there might be fees both at the county level and at the Boundary Commission level, but I think the higher fees are with the Boundary Commission for the consideration of the entire boundary and the mapping issues.
Okay. We'll ask somebody more knowledgeable on this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions of Amanda? Thank you. Please stay if the case there's further. And
I'll do it.
Out of courtesy, I'd like to ask the elected reps down there, why don't you come up together and...
pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, we're about to get bowled right over. I will tell members of the committee that I sort of made a point of letting our Lane County delegation here and in the Senate know that this was coming, and in hopes of sort of hearing from them, since none of us are from that and would not even be here if this were not a statutory commission. Okay? It's a little unusual situation. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Berger and members of the committee. I'm going to go first because my committee is in the process of a work session. But for the record, my name is Debbie Farr. I'm State Representative for House District 14 from beautiful Northwest Eugene, which includes Junction City and Cheshire. Although I have concerns about the Boundary Commission, and I suspect changes and a review of the Commission's mission statement is well past due. Based upon comments I have received from the constituents in my district, I have also heard from other constituents who support the Boundary Commission. I support the discussion being heard today because I believe it will be the impetus for local action to review and address deficiencies in the Boundary Commission process, which I believe is also ripe for review and a change time of how government services are being provided. But I do not support House Bill 3265, and I ask the committee to allow the Boundary Commission and local governments in Lane County the opportunity to self-correct and possibly return in 2007 to seek whatever changes in state law are necessary to implement those changes. I might also add that I am chief sponsor for House Bill 3301 at the request of Lane County, which will allow for overlapping service districts and ultimately, hopefully, will allow for them to create a public safety service district. So thank you very much for accepting my testimony.
Any questions of Representative Farr? If you need to run, feel free. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Terry Beyer. I'm the State Representative for District 12, Springfield. I think you've heard my district mentioned previously in the testimony. And you won't see the city represented here either in favor or opposed to this bill. The issue that we had was a fire district that they wanted to develop that the Boundary Commission had turned down. And I will say that it was a very divided issue in the community. It wasn't that the Boundary Commission went against the entire community in making the decision. I think it came about fairly, and I think you'll see that because of the fact that the city is not here saying, we hate the Boundary Commission, we got to do something different. I think they will agree that maybe we need to look at it, see what we can do with the Boundary Commission, but they're not going to be here telling you to abolish it. So, and I could be one of those people on the winning side of that battle when that decision was made. So, I might have a little bias there, but I will say that it serves its purpose. I think we could look at it and review it, but I think it has helped in the community.
Thank you, Representative Byer. Questions? Oh. Representative Holley? Did you have a question, Representative Buckley?
I do, but...
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Representative Byer, can you explain briefly what the benefit of the Boundary Commission is as compared to having the County Commission make these decisions?
I can't really get into the technical aspects of it. I could tell you on a personal level that there... I think this is a decision... I mean, this is a group that just deals with these issues, and the county has certainly got a lot on their plate, and I don't want to sit here and tell you that everybody has a lack of confidence in the county doing this job, but I will tell you that I have a lack of confidence in the county doing the job. So that's how I'm going to answer it.
I appreciate the
well put. Any further questions, Representative? Yes.
I have questions on the working of how this works and the accountability. Would I address someone else on this?
I think the member of the County Boundary Commission is here, and I'm sure she can speak to how the whole thing works. So let's... Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Paul Holvey, State Representative from District 8, which encompasses a good share of Central Eugene, South and West Eugene, and also a large geographic area of rural South and Central Lane County. And I'm here today to also speak in opposition to this bill. I recognize the some of the problems that the Boundary Commission has had in trying to make everybody in the community happy. It's just something that can't always be done, as most of us know. Eugene, although it may be one of the only, or is the only, Lane County Boundary Commission, Eugene, Springfield, and the surrounding area around there really, I think, have a good need for this kind of structure. And I think that they set it up because they recognized Eugene and Springfield are contiguous, and they are right next to each other. They're separated by the river. And we have some suburban areas that are not either in Springfield or Eugene, and trying to provide services to all of these different areas with different taxing districts takes a great deal of cooperation and joint effort. And the Boundary Commission, I believe, helps fulfill that coordination. I feel that they do have some problems, they do have some issues that arise, and I think their work will work to solve most of those problems. I hope to be bringing a bill before this committee involving a library district for the rural part of Lane County that I believe the Boundary Commission and the City of Eugene and the City of Springfield are working with me to make sure we get it drafted so that everybody will be happy before I bring it to this committee. I also believe the Boundary Commission in this area is also something that the local people want to have control over. They feel that they need to work together, and this is the mechanism that they want to use to do it. I might be able to answer some of your questions on it. I know the governor appoints the people to this Boundary Commission, and I feel that that isn't overweighting it to the city or to the county or to any other interest group, really. I think the overall picture of this is really about the county's expertise, the city's expertise, and some other people and their expertise all working together as a combined community, trying to solve some of our issues with growth and annexation and how to provide the services for everybody. And I would entertain a question or two. Maybe I might answer them. I don't know.
Representative Escobar.
Representative Holley,
who are these people accountable to? Obviously, it isn't the local people, is it?
Well, yes, they are accountable to the local people. They're accountable to the county, to the cities, and to the local people. I mean, ultimately, the governor appoints them, so they're accountable to the governor, and the governor, I would assume, is accountable to all of us.
But, I mean, like, local people did not participate in the selection of these people, like, they don't vote on or anything, the governor just appoints them?
That I believe is correct, you know, as in a lot of other areas, but you know, we have that set up, and that's I think that's a different bone of contention, actually. If we want to have an elected board or elected commission, boundary commission, that should be a different bill. Just as we have transit districts that aren't elected and that are appointed, I think there's a bill in the in this building that's addressing that in our area as well. I don't believe that's I think that's a different issue. I would agree with you that I think perhaps they should have elected officials on there, but sometimes the interest and the expertise of the city government or of the rural areas sometimes aren't represented by an election.
Madam Chair,
you can follow up Representative Esquivel, and then
No, I'm not advocating you do that, Representative Holy. What I'm trying to figure out is how this thing works, because I'll be honest with you, there's 35 other counties that we don't understand this.
I'm not.
We're just trying to get our hands around it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was established, you know, some time back, and I don't know exactly how far back it goes, but, you know, and all other communities that used to have boundary commissions have abolished them. I just feel that the uniqueness, or maybe we always think we're unique in Lane County, but I think that the setup that we have with the geographics of Springfield, the suburban, the rural, and Eugene all having to work very closely for our services, really this model fits that area, and I think that's one of the reasons I oppose doing away with it. Certainly there's problems with making sure everybody's interests are served, but sometimes that's just not possible, and you have to make the best decision you can for the most that you can.
And Madam Chair and Representative Esquivel, I think the best person to answer these questions really is the Boundary Commission, but I do want to say that as in the LTD appointed boards, names are forwarded, the community actually kind of puts forward names to the governor's office.
The Lane Transit District?
The Lane Transit District.
And that, too, is Representative.
That is appointed, too, by the governor. And these names are forwarded throughout the communities for that. But other than that, I think that the real details of how they do this should come from the actual agency. So.
Further questions of the representatives? Thank you both for coming in. Representative Holby, I will tell you that I appreciate your comments, but I will say that I live in Salem, which is contiguous with Kaiser, and which crosses into two counties, and we managed to do this all without a commission overriding it all. So there's various ways to skin a cat, and we can get along too with, you know, adjoining cities, sharing school district, sharing different counties.
And I don't dispute that, Madam Chair. I just think there's, as you say, there is more than one way to skin a cat. This is
this is the way you do it.
This is method upstream.
Okay. Thank you.
We're down.
Thanks for coming in. Okay, let's hear from Paula Taylor. And if you folks from the city of Eugene would like to, we'll come up and all, there's three of you, there's three chairs. It would save us all time if you, and we'd like to hear from Paula Taylor certainly first.
Thank you.
And welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members, my name is Paula Taylor. I am the Executive Officer of the Lane County Local Government Boundary Commission. You've already heard background information about the Boundary Commission, so I won't repeat all that. I'll be glad to answer any questions. Feel free to interrupt me if a question comes to you, and I'd be glad to respond. I would like to just talk a little bit more about the uniqueness of the Lane County Boundary Commission. It is a creature of the legislature. It operates under Chapter ORS 199. The Boundary Commission has, as a state agency, adopted a series of administrative rules. You've heard about the policies, the filing fees. They also have rules around filing requirements. We adopt our budget by administrative rule. The Boundary Commission has no state funding. It receives all of its funding through assessments to cities, the county, and certain special districts. The Boundary Commission law also allows the Boundary Commission to collect filing fees. In adopting its budget every year, the Boundary Commission meets with the advisory committee. It can't adopt its budget without input from the advisory committee. The advisory committee is made up of representatives of three cities, and those happen to be from Eugene, councilors from Eugene, Springfield, and Cottage Grove. There's a Lane County commissioner who is on the advisory committee. There are representatives from fire districts to board members on the Boundary Commission's advisory committee, and then there are public representative. There are nine members on the advisory committee. The advisory committee, primarily from Eugene and Springfield and Lane County representatives, have strongly encouraged the Boundary Commission over the past several years to collect less of its revenues from assessments to those cities and the county and the special districts, and more from filing fees. As you know, the cities are, the Boundary Commission is, the county, and all trying to find revenue resources. So the Boundary Commission has a fee schedule. They're very conscious of the decision of pricing people out of the process. Although it is true that to file a major boundary change, which a formation is, those are some of the highest fees that are paid to the Boundary Commission for that processing. To my knowledge, the county, and I'll talk about how that process works between the Boundary Commission and the county in just a minute and get back to that question. The county, to my knowledge, doesn't collect any fees for their role in the processing of boundary changes, and they only have a role when it's a major boundary change, like a formation or a dissolution or a merger of districts or cities. The county doesn't have a role in Lane County. That responsibility rests with the Boundary Commission. They do have a role with formations, but not with minor boundary changes, which are defined by law to be annexations, withdrawals of territories. There's also a method of transferring territory between like districts in a Boundary Commission area. The Boundary Commission has, through its fee structure, tried to collect more of the costs of processing boundary changes from fees. When we have tracked some of the costs of processing a major boundary change, they're usually in the $15,000 to $20,000 range for the Boundary Commission. So the fee is quite a bit less than what the true costs are. I don't know if the Boundary Commission will ever be willing to collect the full cost of processing all kinds of boundary changes, but we are moving in that direction. And with the encouragement from the advisory committee to continue to reduce the assessments to each of the cities and Lane County, they want to see that part of the Boundary Commission's budget reduced. The Boundary Commission as you've heard early through testimony, that it does have adopted policies. Those policies are crafted after the statute. There are policies that provide the Boundary Commission policy direction when looking at solutions to service delivery. The law does imply a preference to a single service provider of multiple services, I think that your observations today are true. The statute was created in 1969. Circumstances are very different than then. The Boundary Commission, through some of the proposals that have been talked about this morning, is aware of the changing circumstances and the changing challenges to them to implement what the law says, yet be responsive to what local citizens and local governments are asking them to consider. And they also acknowledge that their rules may not be in line with some of the requests that are coming before them. So they're aware of those kinds of inconsistencies or potential inconsistencies. I also think that the Boundary Commission has historically been consistently evaluating and making decisions on major boundary changes, like forming new districts, to ensure that the proposal is the best solution for the community, for the state, for Lane County, for those that are going to be getting the service and those that are going to be providing the service. They take that role very seriously, and they know that forming a new unit of government isn't easy. Operating a new unit of government is even harder. So their law tells them they have to consider certain factors, and they take that very seriously. And it is a cumbersome process. It is complicated. It's going to be complicated whether there's a Boundary Commission or not. I work very closely with Lane County Legal Counsel and the Elections Director to coordinate the complexities of the overlapping jurisdiction for formation of new units of governments. We always try to meet collectively with people who are interested in forming special districts. The Junction City proponents of that Park and Recreation District, I've been meeting with those folks for over 2 years to help them through this complicated process, and it is a complicated process. They have not yet made an application to the Boundary Commission, although I met with them just last month, I believe, and they are still moving forward with their efforts and are asking lots and lots of questions, and they're trying to do, they'll come up with the best proposal that they're able to. I'm convinced of that. They're very committed to their process. In reviewing every application that comes before the Commission has developed four standards that they will apply. Their law requires them to be an impartial forum, so they address whether they've done their notice correctly, whether people feel like they've received notice and have an opportunity to comment. They have to consider the impacts of the proposed boundary change, whether it's a new unit of government or an annexation to a city. They consider what are the impacts on that boundary change on existing units of governments, on the existing fire district, on the existing water district, on if it's a formation, on a county, on other existing units of government. So that's one of their standards that they evaluate the effectiveness of the information that's being submitted for the formation and how it may or may not impact other existing units of governments. The next two standards have to do with acknowledged comprehensive plans. And since acknowledged comprehensive plans since plans have been acknowledged, and the Boundary Commission law is very clear that it must make its decisions consistent with these acknowledged comprehensive plans, that requirement has had the greatest impact on the Boundary Commission and how it reviews proposals. If the Boundary Commission can't determine that a proposal is consistent with the plan, it can't meet that standard, and the Commission would be inclined to say no to a proposal. And in the instance that you heard about this morning, the annexation to the city of Springfield to the Willacoochee Fire District, the Boundary Commission determined that that annexation was not consistent with the Eugene-Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan. That plan says cities will be the providers of urban services and defines what urban services are. So it was a unanimous decision against that request for annexation because of the plan language that prohibits that service to be provided by any other provider except the city of Springfield.
Go ahead, Representative. She invited questions in the middle of testimony, so she's...
Just on that point, who's responsible for the development of the comprehensive plan?
This comprehensive plan is a joint plan. It was developed and adopted by Lane County, Eugene, and Springfield, and acknowledged by the state of Oregon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another question.
Oh, another question? Yeah.
Yeah. You say Eugene, Springfield, and Lane County. Well, what about Junction City? What about the smaller communities?
Each city has their own comprehensive plan. So, and Lane County has a comprehensive plan. So if we're looking, if the Boundary Commission receives and processes an annexation to Junction City, the Boundary Commission, in addressing the standard, has to conclude that that annexation is consistent with the policies in that plan. So, for example, the Boundary Commission several years ago received a request to annex the city of Junction City to the Junction City Rural Fire Protection District, and that plan actually envisioned that happening, and the Boundary Commission approved that request. The same was true with the city of Cottage Grove, came to the Boundary Commission in conjunction with the fire district to annex Cottage Grove to the South Lane Fire District. That plan also envisioned that eventually happening, that service being provided by that special district. Again, the Boundary Commission approved that proposal. So the Boundary Commission does, in acting with consistent with these plans, because the cities have determined how they want to provide these services, what they envision for their urban service delivery structure, that really provides the most direction to the Boundary Commission in its decision-making process.
Further questions? Okay. You have further testimony?
Well, I think I covered everything I wanted to talk about. I acknowledge that the Boundary Commission acknowledges that. I thought of one more thing I'm going to answer for you. The Boundary Commission does acknowledge that circumstances have changed. They acknowledge they are the last Boundary Commission in the state of Oregon. And that their administrative rules may need some review, and they are aware of those things. So, the one thing I did want to just go back and try to explain was how the process of formation works in Lane County. Some of it's going to be exactly the same as everywhere else in the state. The piece that's different is how the Boundary Commission gets inserted in the formation process. Generally in Lane County, formation requests are initiated through a petition process. The statute says they have to have an economic feasibility study that sets a tax rate. There has to be a legal description that describes the boundary. There has to be assessor's maps that show the boundary on them. There has to be all of those. Many of those things have to be created before you can even go out and collect signatures. So that should be happening everywhere in the state. And that what happens in Lane County. When someone gets all of those things together, it has to go to the county commission. The county commission's job at that time, consistent with the law, is to forward it to the Boundary Commission. So the Boundary Commission then receives it and makes certain that it's consistent with its filing requirements, which will include the economic feasibility statement, the legal description, the maps, many of the things that the statute requires. The Boundary Commission then has 120 days during which it has to make a decision on the proposal. It uses these four standards to evaluate the proposal. And if it determines that it meets its standards, it approves it. If they determine that property needs to be added or taken out, they have the authority to do that. They can't change the tax rate. They can't change the services that are going to be provided. They can't change the budget. They can only take that information and use it to evaluate whether or not this district says it can do what it wants to do. If the commission approves it, we send it, it goes back to the county, and then the county's role, only role, is to set up for election. So the Boundary Commission's process is, the ORS 198 says you set, you go to the county processes it, then if we approve it, it goes to election. It's just that piece in the middle that's the Boundary Commission's. And it is complex. It is confusing. I get confused.
I think unique would be a better word.
Okay.
I think follow that, and I'll entertain questions. But you must understand that most of us come out of some local government venue or another, and we never heard of such a thing. So we're all kind of.
I get that all the time.
You know, I bet you do.
I would like to say, just for the record, the Boundary Commission has not taken a position on this bill. The Boundary Commission will remain neutral. That would be consistent with their past actions. They understand they are acting at the state's pleasure.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Buckley first, Representative Esquivel, then Representative Sumner.
Very, very quick. Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there an appeals process in turn that the decision has been provided, but it's A appeal is looked for?
The Boundary Commission law requires that their decisions be appealed to the Court of Appeals.
Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Representative Esquivel?
Yes. Does the municipality still determine their own UGB, which is their urban growth boundary, or does this commission determine it?
The Boundary Commission has no authority over the urban growth boundary creation, establishment, location. The only thing the commission has to determine is that when they do an annexation to a city, the city has to tell the Boundary Commission it's within their urban growth boundary. The city determines where their urban growth boundary is. The state DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development Committee, commission is the Department of Land Conservation and Development. They have the statutory authority to acknowledge those plans which contain the urban growth boundary, but it's not the Boundary Commission.
Okay, and then so for annexations, this goes through your board and then goes to the city for a vote?
No. In a Boundary Commission area, the annexation process is solely governed by 199. The city's role, how we've coordinated with the cities to have it work, is that the cities can... All cities review the annexations before they come to the Boundary Commission to determine that they can be served, that it's within their comprehensive plan, that it's in their urban growth boundary, that the city supports the annexation. The city could initiate the annexation. Most often, cities let the annexation come to the Boundary Commission by property owner petition, filed directly with the Boundary Commission. The Boundary Commission processes it, makes the decision, and then is responsible for all of the filings that happen at the end of the annexation process, and then it's done. There is no other city action. The city doesn't have to verify it, doesn't have to do any filings. All of the processing piece is handled by the Boundary Commission. And 199 contains the methods of initiation, so even the provisions for how annexations are initiated in the rest of the state, it comes out of ORS 222. Most of that statute doesn't even apply in a Boundary Commission area.
Representative Sumner. I have some specific questions. How do you determine assessments? How often are they paid? What do they consist of? You can answer all of these. Are you paid? How many staff do you have in the Boundary Commission, roughly? Clearly you are not a municipal corporation, so are you required to post and go through a budget process where your budget is a public document, all of that piece of local government that we do understand, sort of? Where do you fit in there?
The ORS 199 says the Boundary Commission is a state agency. The Boundary Commission contracts with an organization called the Lane Council of Governments for all of its services. Its space, its telephone, its copying, its staff. I am actually a Lane Council of Government employee. I am not a state employee. I'm not a Boundary Commission employee. I'm an LCOG employee and provide the service to the Boundary Commission by contract. And yes, I'm paid. I am the only staff. I am currently a three-quarters time employee at LCOG. Mm-hmm. And my job responsibility is to staff the Boundary Commission.
Okay. But the commissioners themselves are not paid.
Commissioners are not paid.
And how many of them are there?
There are seven. And the names that the governor is, the statute says that the governor is to make the appointments from geographically around the state from a list of names submitted by the local governments. So we have Boundary Commission members from all over. Did I say the state? Come all over Lane County. Okay. So we have someone from the coast. We have someone from...
I'm a Whitford ask.
Yeah.
And you say you don't know. So we have members of the Boundary Commission from all over Lane County, from Cottage Grove, from Coburg, from Florence, from Eugene and Springfield, inside the city, outside the city. The questions about the budget. The budget is a public document. The statute directs how assessments are calculated.
199 does that?
Yes.
You have to read that.
the cities are assessed on a per capita rate, and the statute puts a cap on how much the rate can be, and we're not at that cap. The districts are assessed on an assessed valuation basis. And the county is also assessed on a per capita basis. The Boundary Commission adopts their budget once a year. We do it on a fiscal year basis because we're not bound by the biennial structure of the state general funding. And the assessments go out once a year. And everyone can pay in a lump sum or on a quarterly basis throughout the fiscal year.
And what's your approximate yearly budget?
It's around $100,000.
And that's income derived from assessments and fees?
Assessments and fees. Okay. About 60% of the budget is from assessments and about 40% is from fees. And we're working on increasing the fee part of it.
Thank you. You represent Sumner.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for coming. I have one question, hypothetical. Do you believe that you could do the job that you're doing as well as you're doing it if you were an employee of the county? If this form of government, if this layer of superfluous form of government did not exist, could you function in your job as well if you were a county employee?
My primary concern is the funding mechanism, whether it's the Boundary Commission or the county. The county, currently in their planning department, is levying fees for applications that come to them. They actually have been for many years assessing the full cost of processing boundary changes. Their planning applications. In very informal conversations with county administration, they have suggested they would do the same thing for processing boundary changes. I think it would be very difficult to provide the same level of service that I believe that the citizens of Lane County get when they come in to try to process a boundary change. I think it would be challenging to provide that same level of service through the county structure with their financial difficulties and only collecting fees through collecting revenues through fees.
Thank you.
Further questions? We may think of some, but in the meantime, the folks from the city of Eugene, please.
Chair Berger, this one.
Chair Berger, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here. For the record, my name is Jason Huser, Intergovernmental Relations Manager for the City of Eugene. Coming this late in the hearing, I think a lot of my testimony has already been covered, and I don't want to waste your time. You've got a written copy in front of you that you can take a look at. I do want to call your attention to a few highlights. I think one of the reasons the City of Eugene is here is we just want to talk about that we feel like we've gotten a good level of service. And I do want to point out the sort of decisions that the Boundary Commission has to take on are by their very nature contentious, volatile issues. They just are. The Boundary Commission doesn't get the opportunity to duck that responsibility. It's in their lap and they have to deal with it. And when you're dealing with these types of decisions that often, it's very natural there's going to be some dissatisfaction. But you haven't seen a huge crowd of folks from Wayne County who are here today to testify in behalf of this bill. And the reason is, I think dissatisfaction is weighed out by a couple of factors. I think people realize the Boundary Commission does have an extraordinary amount of expertise that they bring to the decisions they make. They do deliver services with pretty good value for those that use them. And thirdly, I think there are times when they provide this sort of politically neutral third-party ground where they not only look out for the interests of the citizens in an area that's changing hands, they also look for the public interest of the folks that are outside of that area. And I think that's an important feature that works for us. Now, for you folks that are in the other 35 counties that don't have a boundary commission, I do want you to understand that Congress has a U.S. Advisory Committee on Local Government, and they put out a study. It's online. If you want to find it, I could certainly locate it and get it out to the whole committee. I'm sorry I don't have it with me today. One of the things they found was they looked at 12 other U.S. states that have boundary commissions, and they did a very systematic review of how those commissions work. And I can tell you, each state has a different approach to boundary commissions. At the conclusion of the report, they said, it's inconclusive. We find no evidence that it works any better or any worse in areas where we have a boundary commission compared to areas that don't. So I want you to know, I think all the counties in Oregon have a system that works, the ones that have a boundary commission and the ones that don't. So I think things are working. But I do want to say, we know the boundary commission is not infallible. We know that it's not perfect. And I think there are deficiencies that we are more than willing to address, the Boundary Commission, its members, local governments, and other stakeholders, citizens. I think the special districts folks should be part of that conversation. And I know my counselors were here yesterday for City Hall Day, and they met with many people in our Lane County delegation. I know they may have talked to some of you at the League of Oregon Cities reception last night about this issue. And I know they're very interested in getting to the bottom of some of these deficiencies. And we'd like a chance to self-correct with all the stakeholders in Lane County and possibly come back in 2007, tell you what we've done locally with changes, and anything that we can't do locally that we need your help on in changing state law, we'd like to present those things to you at that time. That would be our request on behalf of my city councilors, and I can answer any questions.
I'm going to put this question on the record for answering later. Before us is another bill regarding a library district issue around Lane County, and I would really like to know why a statutory change is a proposal for a library district around Lane County at some point, and you don't have to answer it in this hearing. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I have pondered as I've looked at that bill. And if you knew the answer, I would appreciate it. I appreciate you coming. Mr.
Yider
from the City of Eugene, welcome.
Thank you. Chair Berger, members of the committee, thanks. I was here, I think, primarily just to answer more technical questions or from the perspective of the City of Eugene, but I was scribbling notes, so if you'll indulge me, a couple just high points. As Jason mentioned, you've probably all been hearing from our city council about preserve home rule, the importance of local decision making at the city level, and yet our city council has also made a number one priority the retention of the Lane County Boundary Commission. So they're willing to give up those decisions to the Boundary Commission because of the good service and the neutrality that board provides. We discussed that earlier testimony that Eugene, Springfield, and Lane County have this, it's similar to the metro area's comprehensive plan. It's a regional, a smaller regional plan. Might call it a marriage of inconvenience. It's we tenuous relationships get along in this common understanding. And that guides the Boundary Commission's decisions. As Paula said, each comp plan, comprehensive plan, dictates the policies for those areas. In the case where Springfield was trying to form a fire or annex to a rural fire district as a funding mechanism, you all might be interested to know that Lane County testified against the formation of that. And so the Boundary Commission provided that neutral forum to hash out the decision. I happened to be there. City of Eugene took a neutral position on that. But in denying the annexation for that fire district, the Boundary Commission also said, we're not opposed to special districts or this type of growing funding mechanism, means of funding these services. But if you want to do that, the three jurisdictions should go get together, modify the rules in your comprehensive plan, and then come back. Perhaps ironically, Lane County is now pursuing a public safety district, and they are doing just that. They have applied to modify some of the rules that said there's an exception to the local governments providing these services for what's traditionally been county-provided public safety services. And that is, it's in process now. It has just passed all three of our planning commissions. They said, right, we can start pulling apart these policies. This is logical, makes sense. We haven't, next Tuesday is the joint public hearing of Lane County, Eugene, Springfield elected officials to discuss this. Most of my work deals with the annexation aspects, and so the whole special districts thing is new to us. But what we're discovering with this public safety district is in communities like Eugene and Springfield, where the citizens have passed bond measures and operating levies to keep schools and public safety type things, parks going at the local level, there are financial implications to layering on new special districts. It's called compression, and it means that some of the existing operating levies start losing money. That's what's going to be the big issue, I believe, in Lane County, is what are the financial implications if the county forms a district? Does the Eugene School District lose millions of dollars? The Boundary Commission will get to play a neutral monitoring role in that, and that's very important to us. I'd like to point out one other thing. The bill before you that the City of Eugene opposes very strongly also has a clause in there that all the files that are now kept by Paul and the Boundary Commission and are very handy to us get shipped to the state archives. And so if what comes up in our area quite a bit where the urban growth boundary cuts across large properties at the edge of town because we do not provide water service, for instance, outside the urban growth boundary, when a home's being proposed, we need to know exactly where that boundary is. And so we're often calling Paula and saying, we need the legal description for that annexation. Like, how many feet off the center line of a certain road was that? It has very significant impacts for us. We won't have that locally provided.
However, is that provided? It's through the county, through the Boundary Commission, but is that a function of LCOG?
No.
So you keep all public records?
For the Boundary Commission.
For, I mean, he's talking about official records of surveying maps and that kind of thing. Is that a function of yours?
Well, every annexation gets a file, and everything about that annexation goes in that file, and that's the record for that annexation. What Mr. Yider is referring to is that they'll call, and I'll go look up the intercept of the legal description or something. Those are part of the Boundary Commission records, and those would be part of, that would be sent to the archives and
well, I'm sure we can supply copies if we do. I'm not concerned about the record keeping. I am concerned that there was no the new notion. These are your files, but the county still has that function of keeping track of where everything is in the county. In other words, boundary lines. Mm-hmm. That's still a county function.
In every other county, that's true in Lane County.
Okay.
So when boundary changes occur, the documentation goes to the county, and
exactly.
They have
it's
some limited information about
okay.
the application.
Now you just panicked me for a minute. Wait a minute. Where are all those things? So, Mr. Yeader, if you could conclude.
Coming to Salem. And finally, the process for the annexations, it's very simple. The applications technically are made directly to the Boundary Commission. The Boundary Commission does not accept them as complete unless a city staff person, 99% of the cases it's me, has signed off that it is consistent with their comprehensive plan, and we check with Public Works and Fire and Police to make sure we can provide the urban services. That's a week, 10 days, city review, and then we ship it on. It's okay. A very streamlined process for us.
Okay. Representative Esquivel raised his hand first.
Yes. This commission, do they allow piggyback annexations by property owners for one fee? Example, if you have four or five different pieces of property and they're contiguous to each other, do you allow them to come in as a whole under one fee, or do you charge them for the five or six fees?
Chair Berger and Representative Esquivel, the city charges a fee, the one fee per annexation, it's not per property, and then the Boundary Commission has subsequent fee to cover their costs or a portion of their costs.
So they have to do two fees?
Yes.
Okay. Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Chair. In the case of conflicting comprehensive plans, whose responsibility is it to work out the conflict? Is that the county's or is it the boundary commission's?
Madam Chair and Representative Buckley, I'm trying to think of a time when we've had conflicting comprehensive plans, because inside an urban growth boundary, there's only one applicable comprehensive plan. Outside the urban growth boundary, there's only one applicable comprehensive plan. We may have a proposal that cuts across comprehensive plans, so partially in and partially out, and there, I guess there could be, well, the decision would be, so the part that's inside the urban growth boundary, is it consistent with that plan language? The portion that's outside the urban growth boundary, is it consistent with that comprehensive plan? For example, the Lane Library, the Boundary Commission recently approved the formation of the Lane Library District in the Crestwell area, and there were two comprehensive plans. So both of those comprehensive plans were addressed through the Boundary Commission's review and concluded that it was consistent with both of those plans.
So you haven't come up with that situation?
Not that exact situation.
Okay. Representative Summer, we're running out of time here, so I'm pushing a little harder.
Well, correct me, sir, if I'm wrong. I understood you to say that the Boundary Commission has an active role in determination of public policy. In other words, you're not taking simply an advisory role to the Boundary Commission, but an active advisory, an active public policy decision?
Chair Berger and Representative Sumner, the role of the Boundary Commission is for them to approve an annexation of a special district, they must make a finding of consistency with the comprehensive plan. And they have their own policies that Paula can speak to, but their action is finding consistency. And the city's role is advising them. So in the case of the Springfield Fire District that had been brought up, Springfield suggested that it was consistent with our comprehensive plan. Lane County testified that they thought it was inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. The Boundary Commission found that it was inconsistent with a policy in the comprehensive plan.
Thank you.
Kara, you had a
I do. Mr. Yeider, if I may, early in your testimony, you spoke about compression and how a formation of a new district would impact funding for other taxing districts. And your example was, I think, a public safety district that would have impact on school district funding.
Yep.
My understanding of Measure 47 and 50 is that the $10 per thousand that's collected for governments, that's the compression part. The $5 collected per thousand of assessed value for schools is protected.
Yes, I may have misspoken. Chair Berger, in anything with the numbers is getting out of my level of expertise. It's a levy that for after-school programs.
A special levy that you have in your district,
yes,
that you were referring to. And okay, I understand. That is a good clarification, and thank you. Without any further burning questions, I'm going to let this panel go, and thank you very much for your attention. I would like to note two things for the record. One, the McKinsey Fire and Rescue have sent us a letter. It is in your file, and it is part of the public part of the public testimony here today. Nan Heim from TriMet has asked to speak. I will be happy to put on the record that TriMet has an issue and would like amendments. Were we to move forward with this bill, and I think that would satisfy her testimony in the interest of time. And she can submit official record to this committee if she would, and we would accept that. Is there anything else?
Madam Chair, I also have a letter from the Hazeldale Rural District, Rural Fire District, that I'll submit.
That, if you would submit that to our committee assistant, she will see that copies are distributed to the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming and for your testimony. And I'm going to close this public hearing on House Bill. Give me the number.
Oh,
put on the glasses on.
3265.
And adjourn this general government committee meeting for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.